Grace you and peace from God our Father and from our risen and living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Most of you know the story, how in 1521 AD, a young, relatively insignificant monk from Germany traveled to the imperial city of Worms to appear before emperor and pope. And there he was commanded by the emperor to stop preaching salvation by God's grace through faith in Christ Jesus. Yet knowing that it almost certainly meant his death at the hand of the emperor, Martin Luther responded, "Unless convinced by Scripture and Scripture alone, I cannot and I will not recant. Here I stand. God help me." Martin Luther learned and took his stand on the same rock that Peter takes his stand on in this text we have before us this morning. The question is, was it worth it? Why and how? And what is this rock that causes both Peter and Luther to stand firm even in the face of certain death? Certainly, Peter, at the time of our text, was not facing quite the peril that Luther was. Nevertheless, the decision that he made here did bring him, time and time again, directly into very serious danger. And so as we study our text this morning, we're going to discuss what is this rock and why is it worth standing on. We'll take our text in three sections this morning. We begin with verses 13 to 18. Matthew 16, verses 13 to 18. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I am? The Son of Man." So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." A few years back, when I was still living in India, I had a conversation with my landlady about the Bible, about the Word of God, and her response was, "Well, I've read the Bible. It's very beautiful." But she also went on to say how she'd read the Quran, and how it was very beautiful, and how the Hindu scriptures, the Bhagavad Gita, and some of their other books are also very beautiful. There are, of course, lots of books that we could describe as beautiful. There are lots of books that are inspiring and emotional. There are lots of books that make us feel good about our lives and maybe feel like we can make a change or make a difference. There are lots of books that seem to be filled with good, practical wisdom. But so what? Something can be beautiful and inspiring and yet still be a lie. We need a lot more than beauty if we are going to put our life on this Word of God for all eternity. "Who do men say that I am?" Jesus asks his disciples. And many give very high praise to Jesus. Very high praise indeed. Elijah or Jeremiah or John the Baptist or one of the other prophets. They esteem him, they respect him, they think very highly of him. Many believe him to be the greatest prophet of all time, but so what? Even if he is Elijah, he is still just a man. And the word of a man is not enough, is not sure enough, is not certain enough for us to stand and put our life on for all eternity. The only thing that makes Christ a rock, a solid foundation upon which to stand, is the confession that Peter makes. "You're not just a man. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. It is only that recognition that Jesus is the one true God and that the word that he speaks is the one true revealed word of God that gives us a foundation for our life. It is a rock of revelation. Revelation of the word of God, and as such it will not crumble. What else could ever remain solid and certain for all eternity? So I build my life. Shall I risk my soul on what seems to be good for me at this moment? The emotions and goodness and desires of men shift like the sand. Shall I take my stand on what I think I know or what I think some other person may know? The knowledge of man is as transient as a passing summer storm. Not something we can build our life on. It is only Jesus as the Son of God and the Word, the voice of God Himself, that makes the Bible the solid, enduring rock for all eternity. Here I stand on the rock of Christ, on the revealed Word of God, on a rock of revelation. Verses 19 to 23, Matthew 16, 19 to 23. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. And from that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but rather the things of men." How many of you have seen the movie or read the book, Life High? I haven't seen the movie, but I did read the book. I didn't really like it. I mean, I liked the book. I didn't really like the moral of it. The moral of the book is that, well, religion is a good story. Whether it's true or not doesn't really matter. It's a good story that makes you feel good for your life, and all religions kind of help you out, and so they all kind of have their goodness. Not really a great lesson. What a waste of my life if that were true. What a waste of Luther's and Peter's life if that were true. Nevertheless, there was one part that I did really like when Pi, the young man who's kind of the hero of the story, is wandering in the mountains and he finds a Catholic church and he goes in to talk to the Catholic priest and he asks him about Christianity. And the priest responds by telling the story of how Jesus was born and lived among us and preached and died and rose again for the forgiveness of our sins. And Pi says, "That's a good story. Tell me another." And the priest says, "There isn't any other. There's only the one story." What a wonderful confession of the Lutheran, of the Christian faith. There is only one story, isn't there? And it's a story that's retold over and over and over again in Scripture, but it's always the same story: man's sin and God's redemption. It's a story we see in the life of Adam and Abraham and Noah and Samuel and Moses and David and so many others. And sin and failing. Christ's redemption. It's a story of redemption for a sinful man. And the rock on which Peter took his stand and Luther took his stand is a rock of redemption. The announcement of the forgiveness of sins for the sake of Christ Jesus despite all that we have done. The rock of redemption that all the Old Testament heroes of faith took their stand on, as David himself confesses, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness." And it's only because it's a rock of redemption that we are able to stand upon it. Because it's a rock that gives the forgiveness of sins, it is possible even for me, even for a sinner like me, to take my stand on it. Luther knew very well that there was no other rock he could stand on. He tried them all. He tried doing works to please God. He tried praying to the saints. He tried the pilgrimages to Rome. He tried every other method to find a place to stand. But he was much too aware of his own sin and guilt to be able to stand any place other than on this rock of redemption. I will give you the keys to the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven, says Christ. What an amazing and wonderful thing that Christ speaks here. I give to you the keys. What are the keys? We're going through this right now in catechism class. What are the keys? The keys are the special power that Christ gave to his church on earth to forgive the sins of the penitent. You have a superpower. That's what Luther says. The special power, the superpower that Christ gives to all believers. It's a superpower that's far better than flying or invisibility or invincibility or shooting fire from your eyes. You have the power to forgive sins. You have the power to forgive the sins of others so you don't have to live in anger and hatred and resentment of all the petty little things that other people have done against you or you perceive have done against you. You have the power to forgive sins, which restores relationships and builds us up in Christ. You have the power to be forgiven and to live in the forgiveness of Christ. This is a rock of redemption, a rock of forgiveness, and therefore even I can stand on this rock. What else? What other foundation could I ever stand on? My works, my wisdom, my knowledge, my looks, my ability? All of these, there are too many sins. Too much pride and loneliness and covetousness and despair and so many other things that will attack us and tear us down and destroy us, but on the rock of redemption that is Christ, they cannot touch us. Romans 8, 33 to 34. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Here I stand on the rock that is the rock of redemption. With my sins forgiven, even I can stand. Verses 24 to 26. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? How would you go about busting out of prison if you were ever in prison and you wanted to bust out? Quietly, sneakily, through a tunnel, in a disguise, or with all guns blazing right through the front door? Usually you have to do it sneakily because the guards have the guns and the guards have the numbers and the guards can call on the police and the army if they need to track you down. So normally you have to be a little bit sneaky about it. But not so in our text. Christ our Lord says, on this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Why is the rock breaking down the gates? The rock's not trying to get in. The rock and the church, those of us built on it, are busted out. The rock is faith in Christ, and the church are all of us who live in sin and death, and yet through faith in Christ are saved. And when we build on that rock, that faith, the gates of hell cannot hold us in. We're busting out, and we're not doing it quietly. Going right through the gates at midday with a loud bang. This rock that Jesus talks about here, on this rock I will build my church. This is not a pebble. This is not a foundation in a basement someplace hidden away. This is a boulder. This is a cliff face on a mountain. And if you stand on a cliff on a mountain, you're not hiding. You're open. You're plain. You're in sight of everyone. So why is it that we so often try to keep our faith quiet? Why is it that we so often attempt to hide and blend in with the world as though we can live among them discreetly, not really standing out? What are we so ashamed of that we so often duck and cover? Are we ashamed of a Savior who forgives our sins? Are we ashamed that we are sinners who need that forgiveness? Are we ashamed that God has revealed to us the eternal Word of God and His truth? Peter certainly was, wasn't he? In our text today, Peter was ashamed. He was ashamed of a Savior who would do something so disgraceful as to die on the cross. But Christ knows the truth. If you're going to bust out of death, you're not doing it quietly. If you're going to bust out of death, all the enemy and all the forces are going to be arrayed against you, and they're going to be shooting at you. They're going to be trying to take you down. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. If you wish to follow me, deny yourself and take up your cross, Jesus reminds us. If you lived in California and the wildfires were heading straight for your house, how long would you stay in that house? Or if you lived in Florida and the hurricane was about to hit, how long would you trust in the wooden walls or even the cement basement of a house to protect you from a hurricane? Hopefully not long. Hopefully you would get out right away. But if you're standing on Christ and the hurricane and the fire are headed for you, how long will you stand? Luther certainly was surrounded by the hurricane and the fire, and all the forces of Satan were there arrayed against him in Worms, and it probably would have been very tempting for Luther to look at that ground he was standing on and think, I need to find something a bit safer because all the enemies are surrounding and coming right for me. But Luther knew that despite what it looked like, there was no safer ground. Standing on Christ, there is much that we might lose. Just like abandoning your home to the wildfire might mean losing everything you have, but what is there in your house worth saving or worth giving your life for anyway? So too, what is there in this life that is worth our soul, Jesus reminds us. We're busting out of death and hell into the glory of God. Jesus says, leave the things of death behind. Those things don't matter. This rock is not hidden, and it's not quiet. To stand on this rock means to be seen, and it means to confess Christ, and it means that we are in danger of losing our life. This life, this sinful life, this life of suffering, we might well lose. But we gain the life of Christ and the life of heaven. Here I stand, confessed Luther and Peter, openly and publicly confessing Christ and Him crucified, and all the hosts of hell and earth are arrayed against us, but what of it? I'm busting out of death into the life of Christ. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.